You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, one of my favorite guests returns, Julian Rose. Julian is a champion of organic farming and a hands-on president of the International Coalition to Protect the Polish Countryside. He and his partner co-launched a highly successful campaign for a GMO-free Poland while leading a high-profile defense of peasant farmers, who he holds up as the true guardians of biodiversity throughout the world. As a result of their efforts, there are now GMO-free zones established in Poland, leading the way throughout our global community, setting the standards for what's possible. Additionally, Julian is a brilliant author and essayist. His first book is called Changing Course for Life, and his new book, In Defense of Life, Essays on a Radical Reworking of Green Wisdom, are both available at Amazon Books. You can also find his articles, materials, books, research, and thoughts on his website, www.julianrose.info. So let's welcome him back to the show now. Hi, Julian. How are you?
Oh, hi, Lance. Very well, very well. I'm quite glad to be in 2018 because 2017 was a particularly tough one.
Oh, yes, it was. I think it was for just about everybody. How did it affect you?
Well, I broke my ankle and I had a severe prostate problem.
Oh, geez. Well, yeah. Those are nasty things to have happen.
Yeah, and both at the same time, that was what was so extraordinary. But, you know, Lance, something very interesting to tell you and your guests is that I cured both without the use of antibiotics and chemical medicines.
Wow.
Really fantastic, particularly the prostatum, which normally the prostate, because the doctor, the conventional doctor said, okay, and give you a course of antibiotics. And I said, oh, no, thank you. I'm going to do it another way. I don't want to destroy my immune system with 4 months worth of antibiotics.
Right.
And he was rather shocked, but he said, okay. And then with the help of Jadwiga, my wife, and various colleagues in Poland, who are very good herbalists and also distance healers and got involved in this, we, after 3 months, I couldn't pee at all. I had to have a catheter, you know. What that is, a piece of plastic stuck up your penis and then eventually removed into the lower stomach so that at least you could have a pee if you could. That lasted for 3 months. I couldn't pee at all. And after that, slowly, 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 life came back to it. And now it's like I'm a 30-year-old again. It's like never been so good.
And that was all done through the wisdom of your own body.
Quite right, quite right. The wisdom of my own body and the wisdom of people tuned in to universal, holistic medical advice, if you like, and knowledge, deep knowledge in some cases, because the knowledge on how to cure people the natural way is very ancient, a lot of it. But of course, it's reviving at this point in time, in spite of the fact that governments and the architects of the New World Order are trying desperately hard to stop it. You know, they're putting more and more pressure on herbalists and naturopaths and all the people schooled in the natural way to conform as though they were conventional doctors using conventional medicines, which, of course, for these sort of people, some of whom just operate out of a back room in their house, is almost impossible because of all the costs involved and the registration of this and the registration of that. So you see, as usual, and in our conversations, we always hit this very early on, as usual, you know, the great repressor is getting more and more extreme, just as we are really waking up.
Well, yes, and in a sense, it's that they're triggering each other, because people are beginning to see that when they go to the hospital for various things, they come out worse than they were when they went in.
Yeah.
And I recently had a friend who died of cancer, and she was on a natural path after having used chemotherapy and having found it wanting. And she was using the marijuana cure. And she didn't like the feeling of it, so she stopped. But and it had been in remission, so then the cancer acted up again. And she went to the hospital for pneumonia, and the nurses and the doctors all told her, you're going to die if you don't do this, meaning get chemotherapy. And so eventually she was kind of badgered into an experimental program in which she was given another form of chemotherapy, and it did the same stuff, and she realized that she had, you know, that was just, that's all that they have to offer is, you know, to kill the good cells along with the bad ones, and that isn't medicine. That's witch doctory.
Well said. That's exactly what it is. And what's remarkable about it today, of course, is that statistics are coming out showing that exactly what you were saying, that the and particularly in the USA, that the highest death rate is wrong medicines being given to people in hospitals and general mistreatment, and higher death than cancer, the reason you might even go in, you know?
Yes.
So it's actually well, what's really interesting today is that everything's coming out in the open. Everything's coming to the surface. And, of course, that makes it extremely difficult on the one hand because people get scared and they, you know, don't like to see all the horrors that are taking place all around them and all around the planet. But 50 years ago, 100 years ago, they were buried and we knew nothing of them. So now we got them in our face, and we have to be very courageous. And if we are very courageous, and we are courageous, then of course we can confront this, recognize the reality, accept the fact that it is very much a dark side issue, and that the people who are trying to run the planet, in fact, who are running the planet, belong to a small clique, less than 0.5% of the world population. All of them involved at a very high level in corporate concerns, corporate trading. Very nearly all of them involved in satanic worship of various sorts, and having a completely a different agenda than the agenda which is a human agenda, which is like love, happiness, joy, pleasure. That's what we're looking for. These people are looking for the opposite of it, and that's what's hard for people to stomach. It's very difficult for people to grasp that there could be an entity or entities that are working with the opposite. I call it the anti-life approach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, another example of the medicine scams and scandals is the overprescription of antibiotics. And as you know, they destroy the immune system. So one of my friends who was in his 40s had MRSA. MRSA, and I didn't know what that was, but it's when you take so many antibiotics that your body becomes immune to them and they no longer work. And so then the doctors have to throw all kinds of extreme measures into the body, and then that just really is the killing point. And he died of it. And that's very common, to have superbugs in hospitals that have developed an immunity to being killed by the standard issue items, and antibiotics no longer work. And so the more you use them, the more you're putting another nail in your coffin.
That's a horror story. It really is a horror story. I've heard it from other people too. And this is actually happening also in the animal kingdom, because in intensive farming, particularly factory farming of large-scale farms where antibiotics are routinely used in the feed. I don't mean to as cures, but literally in the feed itself. So in other words, prophylactic use of antibiotics in genetically modified soya and maize is the standard food going to, let's say, 80 to 90% of all supermarket products in Western Europe and America.
Right, and that's because living conditions of those animals is so horrific. They're all pinned together so thick that they're practically on top of each other, and some of them can't even stand up. They're so weak, and so they're going to get infections. Plus, they eat the feces that's on the ground and all of that. And so they have to give them antibiotics because they know they're going to all get sick, and they don't want to lose any of their products that would might cause a downturn in their profits.
Ah, no. Wouldn't that be a shame?
And, you know, I heard rumors about the organic farming industry was experimenting with this foam, and I saw, I can't find the article now, but there were men dressed in white outfits with glass panes in front of them, and they were spraying out of these huge fire faucet hoses foam in the place where the organic chickens were kept. They were all smothered by the foam, and then they just literally, somebody else picked the foam off, which took the feathers with them. And I heard rumors that they were trying to develop a chicken that didn't have feathers. Imagine that. Yeah. And cows that don't have legs, so they wouldn't have to move around. They could just prop them up and just use them as, milk machines, which they're basically doing anyway.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, they did manage to create this chicken without feathers, but they didn't manage to create very many of them, thank God.
Oh, good.
Now, interestingly, very prescient, you mentioned this, by the way, Lance, because a story, I had to laugh in a way, because the story came out 2 days ago in the British press that the public in England are calling the police because Kentucky Fried Chicken ran out of chickens. And the police had to put out an alert to the public saying, please don't call us because Kentucky Fried Chicken can't supply the normal service. This is not a police concern. You have to laugh. But there's behind this story is something very similar to what you were just telling. The behind story is this, that virtually all the large supermarkets of Europe were found to be getting their chickens from about two vast resource bases where 70,000-80,000 chickens are kept in one house and fed the antibiotics and all the rest of it, just what we were describing, living for an average of 3 months. We've got chickens running around out here, by the way, people listening, who are 6 years old and still laying eggs.
Wow.
So the ones that Lance and I are talking about allowed to live 3 months and 4 months possibly, and in that time they're fattened from nothing to the state which you buy them in when you go and buy that disgusting chemical processed product called Kentucky Fried Chicken. So what happened was some undercover cameraman from a television network, alternative television network, got into the factory posing as people applying for a job. And they were shown round, you see, in the process of applying. This is what happens on this conveyor belt. This is where the chickens are stored. This is where. And while they were being showed round, chickens were falling off the conveyor belt onto the floor.
Oh.
Where a lot of people were wandering around in large shoes and filthy, you know, this, that, and the other.
Oh, yeah.
Eviscerating chickens' innards everywhere. And they just picked them up and threw them back on the line again. And then when it got to the end of the line, one of the applicants for the job, actually, of course, an undercover journalist, said, oh, do you ever get returns from chickens that have gone past their sell-by date? And he said, well, we do sometimes get returns of this. He said, we inspect them, we have a look at them, and if they're all right, we put them in new packaging and send them out again.
of course.
So what happened was the public they couldn't take this. Finally, you know what it takes, you start learning what it finally takes to get people to react.
Yeah.
This was too much for them. So what happened was there was a massive outcry and a government was forced to step in and send inspectors into this factory where they produce these millions of chickens every day. And the inspectors, unfortunately for the factory, couldn't put a dark enough pair of glasses over their eyes not to see what was going on, and had to admit that indeed it wasn't up to standard. So what happened was the factory said, we'll try and get it up to standard within the next week, and they failed, and the entire place has closed. Now, that's the backstory for why the public were ringing up to say, we can't get our Kentucky Fried Chickens. I mean, this is the end of the world. Come on, police. You have to do something about it. And I was thinking to myself, my God, a few lives have been saved by the fact that people won't have to eat those disgusting chemical chickens for right. a week or two. Little do they realize, you know, God's on their side.
Wow. Well, you know, you're a literary person, and you probably remember this book, but I think it was Upton Sinclair who wrote a book in the maybe the 30s or so called The Jungle. And it was about the meatpacking industry, and it was so disgusting. I mean, I had never read anything like it, and it was just revolting what was happening in the meatpacking industry. And so, of course, once the public got hold of this book, there was an uproar, and then certain standards were put in place. But as you can see, the only thing that's changed is the outer dressing, and the inner workings continue to be abhorrent to
Absolutely.
Anybody interested in health.
100% abhorrent. And there really is no escape from this. It's called factory farming for very good reason. And, you know, you're treating animals as though they had absolutely no sentient existence at all. No,
oh,
you're treating
yeah.
metal or something like that. And the people who work in those places have to have a similar, totally insensitive makeup.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they can't survive in those sort of institutions. So the combination of these two things does produce what is a very genuine nightmare. And it is high time that a great deal of the general public woke up to this and changed their habits, because by supporting this, you know, by buying this stuff because it's cheap, quote, only for that reason, refusing to look at why it's cheap, is becoming quite abhorrent. I'm going to mention something here in relation to the issue of vaccinations, Lance, which I think is connected, really, and farming, which is that in the issue, which is, of course, red hot now about the what's in vaccinations, and I'm thinking particularly of aluminium, as a matter of fact, but also even mercury and one or two, and many extraordinary bits and pieces from animal parts now. I think you're aware of this, and probably quite a lot of your listeners have seen this information coming out more and more. Actually, interestingly enough, some of the same ingredients that are in chemtrails, which are largely aluminium, you know, this is largely what is in the makeup of the fuel which is being burned by these jet airliners creating chemtrails. And it's in the fuel. Now, I think I might have mentioned this to you last time. I did a lot of research about this and have now written a couple of articles about it, which have gone quite viral, because I found out from a Swiss firm, government firm, actually, scientific organization, who decided to test chemtrails at the point where they come out of the, test the composition of engine fumes where they come out of the back of the jet in flight. Okay, you got that.
You know,
testing the composition of the fumes coming out the back of a jet engine, because they were getting a bit suspicious about what might be in them. I've always said it's coming out of the jet engines. It's not separate spraying. It's separate spraying when you're dealing with crops and when you're dealing with very specific issues and certain targeted areas. But on the whole, covering the sky with chemtrails, with atmospheric geoengineering, aerosol geoengineering, is done through jet engines. And what they discovered was, yes, indeed, aluminium in the fuel. And not only that, the many other ingredients, which no one would ever have believed are needed in jet fuel. So this is dynamite news, actually. Totally dynamite, because what it means is that every aircraft flying at 20 to 30,000 feet who's filling up on the ground with this fuel, and it must be worldwide after all, because the chemtrails are worldwide, is depositing aluminium in the atmosphere. And I'm not mentioning the others because it's quite complex, and some of them you won't even recognize the name of, but aluminium is one of the chief ones. There's also barium and strontium. Those are the other two particular ones. Those obviously are highly debilitating when it comes to breathing, when it comes to receiving information in the brain. They upset the balance of the brain, and they upset the whole plant balance, the carbon-nitrogen ratio in the soil. Those are what are raining down on us, and they're coming through the engines. Now, this is related to the vaccination issue, because they're finding some of the same ingredients in vaccinations. It's so extraordinary, isn't it? That is really remarkable stuff. And now, I said to someone who was interviewing me about this quite recently, you know, this thing about vaccinations really interests me, because I developed one of the earliest forms of organic farming in the UK. I started in 1975. And I had a very mixed farm. I had pigs, sheep, chickens, dairy cattle, and beef cattle. And I said, one of the conditions in certified organic farming is that you're not allowed to use these vaccinations. There's only one type you are allowed to use, which is a more natural source origin in the antibody, in the vaccination. And I said, when I first heard about this, I thought it sounded pretty constricting. But as I developed my farm, I found my animals were so fit and well and healthy that they never needed a vaccination. Never needed it. They didn't need any of the things that we were all told they have to have in order to stay fit and well and give the amount of milk or the amount of meat you expect them to give. So, you know, it was in front of my eyes, this whole issue was debunked. I saw for myself firsthand my animals grazing on pastures with clover and herbs in the lays and going into the hedgerows and eating the leaves when they needed extra minerals, and going to particular water sources where they knew the water was sweet, and all the rest of it. And I didn't have to do any work. All I had to do is manage the farm according to the laws of nature and not the laws of industrialization.
Right.
And the work was done for me. The work was done for me. And that is the beauty of this system. And if you cross-comply that over into the health world for human beings, the organic farming is the natural health approach. That's the equivalent, isn't it?
Yes.
And you know, so if you follow that route, you won't need the antibiotics. You won't need the chemotherapy. You won't need chemicals. You may need occasionally antibiotic in the background in an emergency, and that's why it's incredibly useful.
Right.
But now people are becoming immune because it's everywhere. Look at that. It's in Kentucky Fried Chicken. Look, it's thick with antibiotics, and people are eating them every day. And to the degree to which when the factory closes, they feel like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I can't eat a chicken.
Well, you know, something related to what you're talking about is that Monsanto is including in their GMO seeds a resistance to aluminum.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, so they're, you know, they're all working hand in hand. This is a global operation. It may even be a cosmic one, as far as we know. And it is concerning to the takeover of the planet. And there was an interesting movie called Jupiter Ascending that the Wachowski brothers, who made the Matrix trilogy, put out. And it was a fairly good movie. It got good ratings. But the point of it is, and this is a spoiler alert, eventually they get to see that human beings are the waitresses in the Japanese restaurant, where everything is just perfect and it's all nice and colored, and they go into the cubicles and they are knocked out at night and they get up at a certain hour, that when they are sent off to paradise, they're put on a hook, knocked out, and they're basically farmed and turned into food. And that's the food that they drink at night and use for nourishment. So Soylent Green was a precursor to that, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are plans on the someone's agenda to get rid of us useless eaters by beating us back to ourselves.
Doesn't that sound plausible?
Yes.
Doesn't that sound plausible?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the issue really at the heart of the matter, because the archontic expression of what we were talking about at the beginning of the program is to reverse everything.
Yes.
Put it in reverse. And that's a very good example of putting it into reverse, literally regurgitating your own gut and then eating it, you know?
Yes.
Or someone else's, possibly. This is complete. This is sort of like zero, ground zero point. But the issue, nevertheless, and the one that people find so difficult to understand, is this issue of reversal of truth. Now,
yes.
The best example I have of it is what Hitler, because it's all have a sort of Nazi root after all. He did this with the swastika, of course. The swastika is an ancient peace symbol from southern India.
Right.
And it's what Hitler did. He took it and he reversed the Z. He put it the opposite way around.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a symbol of war, you see?
Yes.
Now, that's a very, very simple thing for people to understand. You just reverse the Z and you call it a war symbol. But what you described is exactly the same. And so we're getting into the situation where we more and more are forced to understand that the game being played, the very, very sinister game indeed, by what you quite rightly said, and probably beyond the world, influences as well as on the world, is to, so to speak, suffocate the human creativity, human procreation, and reverse it. And the word procreation is an interesting one because it's pro-creation. And anti-creation is what I call anti-life, anti-creation, I think it's the same thing, the forces working in the opposite direction, of which the main leaders, so they call themselves, of planet Earth have affiliations. There's no doubt about it. Some very strong affiliations, some slightly less strong. And on that note, I'm going to tell you another remarkable bit of news which came out very recently in relation to England. Yes, which is this. Two Masonic lodges were found to be operating within the British Houses of Parliament.
Yes.
That's extremely interesting, and have been for quite a long time, but nobody really knew it until somebody who was visiting, I think it might have been a new MP, who was taken down to a room where there was going to be a conference and was there rather ahead of schedule, discovered all the chairs were laid out in a very odd formation. And when she asked, why are the chairs looking like this? The person who was responsible for the room said, oh, well, this is because it's the Masonic Lodge, and this is the way, this is, for some reason, they arranged the chairs this way. So then she spilled this information, so to speak, leaked it to the press. And of course, most of the mainstream press didn't want to know, but one or two did, and certainly a lot of alternative press found it extremely interesting. So what you have is a sort of perfect example that Freemasons are in control. I mean, if you've got two Masonic lodges within the Parliament, and they admitted, because an alternative media organization called UK Column, extremely good alternative radio station, did some very good work on this, and they discovered that the Freemason element there is attended by, there's two lodges, they're slightly different, 40 to 50 members each. So that means about 80 people, MPs in Parliament, are attending those lodges on a regular basis. And of course, what are they learning? Well, I wonder. And about a month before that information came out, another fascinating bit of information, all on the same line of thinking, came out, where they did an exploration of what type of religious training was going on in the Royal Navy for people who join? Was there any interest in religious? Yes, it turns out that the people were Catholic, and some the Protestant, and even some, of course, Jewish people, and then Hindu, one or two, and one thing or other. And then, to everyone's surprise, Satanism was on the list. So they questioned the Royal Navy about this. Isn't that rather surprising that you would have Satanism in amongst these world religions? And the answer was this. Satanism is a perfectly acceptable religious agenda within the Royal Navy.
Oh, geez. That's a surprise.
That's a surprise. So all these things tie together. And that's what I meant about stuff coming to the surface. We'd never dream that any of this sort of thing would be possible. You wouldn't believe it if you saw it in a film script about 30 years ago.
Right.
But now it's sort of right there in our faces. And that's why you've got to have strong nerves.
Nerves of steel or aluminum.
Yes, exactly. And you've got to have a strong immune system. And you've got to believe very, very strongly in a higher power, which is always stronger than any of this stuff we're talking about. And your heart and your mind have to belong to that. And then you can actually observe all these horrors at a slight distance and not feel you're caught up in them, you know. And there lies the central issue of what people are struggling with today, I think. How to live that without being constantly in a state of fear and, you know, running away because everything's getting worse every day.
Right. And, of course, there's a whole group of people and movie actors and so on that staged the false flags that are going on all over the world. Ole Domegaard is one of my guests, and he has been researching this for 30 years. And he points out the factual information that he's been able to discover. He hasn't been able to determine who they are or where these are being, where the source of their funding or their directions come from, but he presents enough information to definitely make you think and realize that all of these situations, the lone gunman, that has to do with mind control and MK Ultra, and these stage events that we're seeing are usually designed for multiple levels of reasons. They're multidimensional, and they're not just for one thing. You would think it would be just to create fear, but they never do anything for one reason. There's always a multi-layered agenda, and it covers everything. And so there's a purpose to it. Sometimes we're supposed to look in that direction and not see what they're doing in another direction. And other times it's a fear-related thing. And, you know, it could be any number of reasons that are going on. But there's a whole staff of people that go to work and determine, get their scripts, and how they determine how to set it up and how to either fake people's death or actually kill them.
Yes.
And so there was one event in which nobody died, we found out. And I was asking a good friend of mine about that, and she said, well, if the human collective decides that that can't happen, they can't do it. And so we have to remember that each one of us has the power to choose. And so when we come across these events and horrible things that are going on, all you have to do is just remember that you're a sovereign being and that you do not choose for that to happen, that you do not align with it. And once you separate yourself from that, from what's going on in the world, you're in another reality. And it's not the reality that's being created to scare us to death and to eventually chip us and turn us into cyborgs or whatever.
Well said. Very right. Very correct, Lance. In fact, talking about the scary things, of course, that are happening, that there was a horrendous event, wasn't there, a few days ago where 70 children were shot in a Florida school.
Oh, yeah.
And in today's, just before the program tonight, I was looking at the news on the Independent online, and it was headline was this: White House indicates it could find funds to train and arm 1 million teachers.
Oh, boy.
Yes, that's Trump's suggestion for how to deal with this.
Yeah.
I was very impressed by the students. And you know, I'm not on the whole, because I think we grew up in the 60s. Well, grew up, is that the right word? I think we got younger again in the 60s.
Right, but we tripped in the 60s.
I just caught myself saying that. It sounded funny, really. In a certain way, we grew up. We certainly went through an initiation or two, that's
absolutely
for sure.
Absolutely.
And I know about your book, by the way, Zany. And you went through a hell of a lot of initiations.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, that's another story.
Yeah, but we'll save that one for another time.
But anyway, I was just thinking that I was very impressed when I was traveling in the States in 1970, and I'd already been, of course, hearing about it before, about the resistance to the Vietnam War and the peace movement, at least at its core. The fearsome commitment people made to fighting to stop that horror story and the many related elements around it, and including the whole liberation of the Black movement and Martin Luther King. Around that time, there were a lot of very serious people, seriously committed, and I don't see much of it now. In fact, it's tragic in many ways that there's very little of it, and things are getting worse, after all, not better. But on this occasion, a number of pupils, and I think hundreds, many hundreds, if not thousands in Florida, got together and went, stormed the government's house and absolutely demanded that actions taken. And they said, and the parents of some of the pupils said, you've got to introduce gun laws, you know.
Mm.
And that is total taboo in America, as you're well aware.
Yes.
And you only have to listen to Alex Jones if you want to understand why it's taboo.
Right.
But you know, I have quite a lot of sympathy for the view that everyone needs a gun to defend themselves against other assailants who are hovering around, thinking about the fact they're going to burgle you and shoot you and everything else. But
yeah,
we all know that if you multiply this together, it simply adds up and adds up and adds up until you've got some chaotic gun running, which is a lot worse than the days of the Wild West.
So, you know, right. And
yeah,
bootleg liquor. Now we have bootleg heroin coming in from the, you know, the military and royal families, and President Bush, the elder, was running cocaine off of his oil rig, and running it through the CIA. So these are just common things that these people that are in the criminal syndicates, and they're all criminals. And whether it's a president of the United States or a mafia member, they're all in bed together.
If you roll out this statement, you know, the White House indicates it could find funds to train and arm 1 million teachers. And then you add it to one other thing I was going to talk to you about tonight. Actually, it takes a bit of time, but it's so important that I thought I would quote one or two elements from a paper. It's the rolling out of 5G.
Go on.
I was thinking the combination of this statement about arming 1 million teachers and the rolling out of 5G, and I made a little note for myself. I said, apocalypse America is imminent.
Yes.
So this is what happened, and there's a bit of positive news on this front, that 180 scientists from 35 countries recommended a moratorium on the rollout of fifth generation 5G for telecommunication until the potential hazards for human health and the environment have been fully investigated by scientists independent from the industry. The warning is that 5G will substantially increase exposure to radio frequency electromagnetic fields on top of the 2G, 3G, 4G, and Wi-Fi, etc., for telecommunications already in place. So RF, EMF has been proven to be harmful for humans and the environment. They say 5G technology, this is a paper written to the highest authorities in the European Union, European Commission, by these scientists and signed by them at the end, 180 of them, they say 5G leads to massive increase of mandatory exposure to wireless radiation. 5G technology is effective only over short distance, It is poorly transmitted through solid material. Many new antennas will be required, and full-scale implementation will result in antennas every 10 to 12 houses in urban areas.
Ooh.
Thus, massively increasing the mandatory exposure.
Brave new world.
Now, you know, it has hit me so hard over the head, and there's a lot more about this. I'll read you a little bit more.
Yeah.
But what hit me over the head about this was, my God, doesn't that fill the Agenda 21 agenda completely? Agenda 21 aim.
Yes.
You get everybody into cities, you know, because it's no longer safe to live in the countryside. And then you they're completely and utterly subdued by this 5G. And this is going to be the European Commission is proposing rolling this out by 2020 and 2022.
Oh, my God.
Already. And they say every city in Europe will have it. Now, this is why this is paper by 180 scientists is so incredibly important. And they say, with the ever more extensive use of wireless technologies, nobody can avoid being exposed. Because on top of the increased number of 5G transmitters, even within housing, shops and in hospitals, according to estimates, 10 to 20 billion connections are involved.
Whoa.
And it says in brackets, to refrigerators, washing machines, surveillance cameras, self-driving cars and buses, etc., will all be parts of the Internet of Things. All these together can cause a substantial increase in the long-term RF EMF exposure to all EU citizens. Then this is the strap line about the scientists involved. More than 230 scientists from 41 countries have expressed their serious concerns regarding the ubiquitous and increasing exposure to EMF generated by electric and wireless devices already before the additional 5G rollout. They refer to the fact that numerous recent scientific publications have shown that EMF affects living organisms at levels well below most international and national guidelines. Mm. Now, what about well below? Effects include increased cancer risk, cellular stress, increase in harmful free radicals, genetic damage, structural and functional changes of the reproductive system, like prostate, learning and memory deficits, neurological disorders, and negative impacts on general well-being in humans. Damage goes well beyond the human race, as there is growing evidence of harmful effects to both plants and animals. So this really is like pulling the ace out of the pack from the point of view of exposing people to frequencies which they have no idea are harming them.
Right.
Because this is the silent weapons from Quiet Wars, you know, that extraordinary Yes, and this is an extraordinarily good example of silent weapon for a quiet war. And then just let your mind play over the average young person today, but not even that young, playing with their mobile phone all day.
Oh,
really
yeah.
Nothing much else to do other than play with it. And then stuffing it in their pocket right next to their genitals.
Oh, gee, yeah. And then you read,
then you read the statistic that in the last 30 years, there's been a 50% drop in active spermicide in men.
Yep.
And you wonder why. Well, all these things is what David Icke calls join the dots. But, you know, it's an apt expression, because if you join the dots, you can see the total picture. And the total picture is what you were saying earlier on. It is complete control over mankind by forces that have no sympathy for our position, no sentient feelings of empathy, love, joy, passion, but have the reverse. This is the only logical explanation for what's going on the planet at the moment.
Yes.
And the fact that it's joined by people who probably are quasi-human beings, that is, the leaders of corporations, banks, the military, royalty, politicians, those people are doing it largely because they maintain their power by working with the dark side. It's a contract. It's a contract with the devil. Dr. Faustus, the famous story. You sell yourself to the devil. And in exchange for that, he gives you a long life, and you will probably be quite wealthy because they give you a lot of tips how to stay on top. But everything else goes. You don't. You lose your soul, you lose your heart, you lose your mind, you lose any chance of getting being in a situation where you're in the world of nature, in the world of godliness, in the world of divinity. You lose all that completely. And people who commit to this way of life must, I think, be suffering already from an extreme loss of sensitivity to even allow themselves to enter into this way of thinking, let alone doing. So this is in a certain respect what I meant at the beginning, that all this information is flooding us now. And in order to understand it, you have to be able to see the relationship between all the different elements in it. And then, as you rightly said, stand back from it, use the power of the divinity that we are to give you the strength and the courage to go forward and keep you separate from falling into this trap along with everybody else. Look at all the kids following the Miley Cyrus and Lady Madonna and Lady Gaga and all these sort of people dressed in their Saturnian kit doing their black magic dances and, you know, performing lewd sexual acts all over the place. And thousands of kids screaming that they're fans, you know, adoring fans. And you see what an incredible state we've got into.
Oh, yes. And it's very contrived and it's intentional. And it's well known that Hollywood is a major source of satanic influence. A lot of the singers and actors have come out and said that they basically sold their soul to get their wealth and fame, and that some of them are very sorry that they did that. And that's where the Illuminati symbolism comes in. I mean, every major event is riddled with Illuminati symbolism and, you know, Baphomet and so on and so forth. So
riddled with it.
Yes, literally riddled.
exactly that. Yeah.
And it's very seductive.
Well, that's so true. And this is why they're so clever. You know, it's extraordinarily seductive. And this goes back to the sort of birth of advertising itself. And the ability to sort of pull something over somebody. In other words, to sell some crap as though it was a high quality product. And I have to say that the USA has always been well ahead of the game on that. Brilliant, brilliant sales people come out of USA, and they can sell anything, I think. So we have that situation. The very last of the things I was going to mention tonight on the sort of black list, I may as well get through it.
Yeah, go.
Is that gender bending plastics have been found in 80% of teenagers who were tested, quite a large test. I think it was about 16,000 people tested over a 2-3 year period. 80% of teenagers found to have gender bending plastics in their bloodstream, in their urine possibly. And then it was mentioned that it's on the inside of food cans and on bottles, plastic containers, etc. The chemicals, and aluminium is one of them again.
And
I think it's one of the chief ones. And it says that the chemical mimics the female sex hormone estrogen. And therefore, you get low sperm counts and infertility in men, as well as breast and prostate cancer. So everywhere you look, it is there. So, you know, you can pick up a soft drink and think, oh, this is nice. I'm finally having a decent fruit juice of some sort. And yet, the thing you're drinking it from is already infiltrated with chemicals that are altering your ability to have children.
You're right.
This is called I think it's called BDA or BTA, this particular. And I think it was in urine. 88% had it in their bodies.
Wow.
And my feeling was this is deliberate. Gender change agenda for humans. It's a deliberate part of it. Yeah. Interestingly enough, 93% of the US population, it was discovered in the digestive system, 99% of Germans aged 3 to 14. Now, that's a bit of a surprise, isn't it?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to Germany and Hitler, who you mentioned earlier, it was Hitler who ordered his people to put massive doses of the toxic chemical fluoride in the water so that they could dumb down the masses. And they did. And now guess what we have in the water to protect our teeth? The government has mandated fluoride be put in the water. So if you're drinking tap water, you're getting massive doses of fluoride. And fluoride is being put in hundreds of other products, including toothpaste. And if you look it up, it's even in baby food.
Yeah, I don't believe it. That's extraordinary, isn't it? Well, it does fit. It fits perfectly as a depopulation tool, of course. But this is connected, this gender bending is connected to this sort of recent upsurge in fashionable idea that you really shouldn't force or put any pressure on young people to decide or conform to what sex they should be. So in other words, you've got the view that, well, you don't have to say whether you're a man or a woman. You don't have to say you're either. You can just be somewhere in the middle. That's sort of...
Androgynous. That's,
yes, exactly, androgynous. And that's becoming more and more fashionable to the extent that the University in London has now banned professors from using the words mate, which is the equivalent in English of dude, maybe in America. Hello, mate. Guys, madam, or sir. You can't say sir or madam because that implies you're talking to a woman or a man. You can't say Mr.
The head of a brothel.
because because if you do this, you're not protecting transgender people. You might be offending them. And therefore, you can't do this anymore. So the universities are not allowing their students to use the names which define people as being men and women.
Unbelievable.
But that is actually happening. This happened. This has been passed. Now, it sounds like the future in a sort of crazy, but it's happening now. And I've also written extensively about this, and I've recognized that the essential game that's going on there is exactly the same as the gender bending with the plastics. The idea is to get people to no longer take any interest in sex. And I'm not talking about homosexuality or being gay or lesbian.
Right.
I'm talking about any form of sex.
Right.
Because this is providing... Sexuality is dangerous. Sex is dangerous because it gives you emotion. And you shouldn't have emotions.
Yep.
Emotions are dangerous.
Yep.
You know, you should strip the world of these emotions. That's what's causing all the problems, isn't it? You know?
Mm.
And people should be machines. And that's why transhumanism and artificial intelligence must be the way forward. It's the only solution. How are you going to stop people murdering 70 kids in some school? You can only do it if you can take the gene out of young people that's causing this type of aggression. But since those people doing the killing are patsies and are mind controlled, of course it's not even coming from that source anyway.
Right.
But you can spin the story that it is.
Exactly.
And you can make people think, oh God, yes, I'm so scared now. I'd do anything. You know, I don't mind if my children are laboratory children, if they have that gene removed, anything to stop this awful horror going on in the world. So you see how all these things tie together.
Absolutely. It's as transparent as glass to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And there was a series that I watched recently, which is a remake of Westworld, the movie. And it's a series with Anthony Hopkins produced by HBO. And I'm telling you, it has all of this in it. And it's an outstanding piece of work. And I highly recommend it to anybody who wants a mirror to be held up to see what's going on and what's coming, because it was
brilliant
piece
again?
Of work.
What's it called again?
Westworld.
Right.
Anthony Hopkins plays the lead, and it's very subtle and yet not subtle. But it's well worth watching because they're showing us what's coming. and it's a mirror for us.
There it is.
But, you know, we haven't even gotten into transhumanism, and we're at the end of the show.
Really? I can't believe it.
We're just getting going. It goes so fast when I'm talking to you, Julian.
Yes, it's great talking to you too, Lance. We're on a very similar wavelength, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Some of us seem to just pick up those things, and we haven't been, for whatever reason, seem to see through the glass darkly or through the mirror. So, well, I thank you for coming back, and we'll have to have you back very soon again, because there's so much more to talk about. And I love talking to you, and I think it gets the information out there. So I just love what you're doing, and appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Lance. Well, that's great. And I'm delighted to hear you're still on the job and sounding younger every day. I think you must be, we're both regressing back to the 1960s, aren't we?
Well, yes, I'm taking C60.
Yeah, I'm just hitting 71.
Nanotechnology.
71 next week, I am.
Oh, golly. Well, you take care of yourself, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you. So thank you again, and good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.